This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I ask, what are your expectations? I don't want to set your expectations. My hair might be on fire, but I want to leave the door open for you to make your own assessment. 510. Let the Jokers hop off the bandwagon. Shanny will set Jimmy up to look like a stud.
Okay.
All right, JD, so just
maybe
pull back on the throttle a little bit.
Maybe, but at some point we have to see it. And look, the Kansas City Chiefs, they take preseason game number 3 seriously. But they also didn't have a defense that was blowing anybody away. Right?
Right.
So what do I want to see? I want to see Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think Kyle Shanahan knows it. I think Kyle Shanahan knows that the pressure's on a little bit. So I think he's going to be dialing up his best plays tonight.
Oh, really?
I really do.
You think he's going to amp up his game plan?
I think he actually needs a game plan tonight. And I think he knows he has a game plan tonight coming off of that Denver game. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see Shanahan some of the better stuff.
So you're looking at it on a different layer. It's not just number 10.
Look,
it's the guy who's calling the plays for 10.
They both need to show well tonight just to ease the pressure heading into the regular season. If Garoppolo goes out and throws for 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns in the first half, and the 49ers offense looks competent and is moving it, then that leads to the next 2 weeks being nothing but, okay, the Niners are fine. Garoppolo's fine. They're going into Tampa. It just as easily as people can get freaked out about it, if he plays well tonight, the script will flip.
I'm buying a 10.
Will be flipped.
I'm at Costco buying a knockoff jersey number 10.
And thinking the Niners can win 10 games.
Oh, I like that. Here, look at this from the 831. Again, we ask. They come right in big. 831 thinks that if Jimmy didn't get injured last year, Niners could have been 6-10. Now, you had higher expectations, Sean. But I think 6-10 is a fair number for last year. So as an improvement for this season, the 831 thinks the Niners are, he expects the 49ers to win no less than 8 games, assuming there's no major injuries there. I think that's 8 wins. Would you sign up for 8 wins right now if you're a 49er fan?
I think I've been sold that it needs to be more than that.
Have you been sold, or have you conned yourself into thinking they're better than that?
I think they're a 7-8 win team, just looking at them. I think that's what they are. I think they're a much more talented team than they've been.
All right.
But I also think they're going to be an inconsistent team, and they're going to be a team that, if they have a few injuries, they don't have the depth to withstand and consistently win games. I just think they're mediocre to average overall.
Oof.
Which is 7-8 wins. Mediocre average is 7-8 wins. If you said, JD, pick, you can have two numbers.
Okay.
You can have two numbers in terms of win total. I would take 7 and I would take 8.
Okay. Those are decent numbers. And you know what?
I don't think they're going to stink.
I think that's pretty good, 7 or 8. But I think a lot of people would see that and they're maybe excited about it.
I just don't think, Coase, that they're talented enough, or they're going to be consistently well-coached enough to be a 10-win team.
Let's get to D.A. in Hayward at 888-957-9570. D.A., are the Niners primed for a solid season, or are there other question marks on this roster?
Well, I think like you guys said, and everybody said, it comes down to the first 3 weeks. I mean, they really could be 3-0 after 3 weeks without playing all that great. I mean, the three teams they play, two very mediocre, definitely not playoff teams on the road the first 2 weeks. You come home, you play Pittsburgh, who doesn't have any of their weapons anymore. I mean, they could easily be 3-0. But what I would like to see going into game one is, forget about the quarterback for a minute. I think that over the course of the last 2 years, the 49ers have upgraded their talent around the quarterback to the point where they don't need the quarterback to be a superstar anymore. They need him to be serviceable and to run Shanahan's offense if they've determined who is their running back. Right now, it's a complete mess. They've got these three guys, you know, former backup on the Falcons, a guy who couldn't stay on the field last year, and their best guy who's coming off a major knee surgery. Week one, they need to have one running back, and this guy needs to be really good. And I think the potential is there for that. We just don't know who that is yet, and I'd hate to see them go into the season thinking, you know what, we have no number one back now. We're going to play this by committee, and hopefully by the second half of the season, McKinnon has come on strong or whatever. They can't afford that in week one. And the same with their receivers. It's very similar. They've got a guy who 2 years ago was really good. They got a rookie they brought in last year who was really good at times, and they brought in two really good rookies this year. But who's going to be the guy who's playing? They don't need four wideouts. That's like six now.
I got you, DA. Thanks very much for the call. There are some questions all over the field, but I will say this: 16-game season, running backs get hit. Not everyone's Todd Gurley, right? If you don't have Todd Gurley, you better have depth.
Tevin Coleman's going to end up being the leading rusher.
I love Tevin Coleman. And I think that signing was brilliant.
And I'm with you as long as he can hang onto the rock. He's had times at training camp where he's fumbled the ball a little bit.
Okay.
And in his career, fumbling has been an issue. If he can hang on to the ball, I think he's going to be the 49ers' most productive running back this season.
All right. No, that's fair. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Jennifer Lee Chang from NBC Sports Bay Area.
Chan.
She's in Kansas.
Chan,
did
right?
I say Chang?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
Chan.
Sorry. You know, it's funny because I'm looking at the names.
Our guy, yeah.
I'm looking at some other things on another notepad that I have here. So I apologize. Jennifer Lee Chan is going to join us in just a couple of minutes from Kansas City. And we are going to talk about the 49ers getting ready for the Chiefs in the game tonight. Big preseason game number 3. But again, I think it's important we hear from you and what your expectations are. You know, we sit here and I do think, listen, first and foremost, we're fans, right? I watch a game like Monday night and I'm a fan. I want to see everything go well. It doesn't. I start to get a little upset by it. But you can start to move back a little bit from that and say, well, the guy hasn't played 11 months. The guy hasn't seen live bullets. You've had scrimmages, but scrimmages aren't 40,000 people or 50, whatever they had in Denver on Monday night. I don't even know what the announced crowd was, but you don't have 50,000 people screaming at you. You don't have the game time. You don't have the network TV in front of you. Now, all of a sudden, when the lights and camera and action are going on and you haven't taken a snap in 11 months, oh, yeah, and you're wondering how your knee with a brace is going to feel. Once I layer it back a little bit, I'm like, all right, let me step off the gas. I'm not going to be heated on the guy.
Chilton Autobody text line, by the way. We were talking about the nicknames.
Oh, are they bagging us?
And it's just like what would be on the back of the jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got one. We got one with a name to this show that would get us thrown off the air.
It would.
Yeah. The ne'er-do-wells. We see you, though.
I'm
still waiting for the day they officially rename this show the blanky blank show.
I got you. I see that one. You guys can figure it out. You're smart. You're a smart audience.
The Cozy Blank Show.
There you go. John Dickinson's over there. I'm Jim Cozumore. 95.7 The Game is where we are. Dial pad guest line is where we go. Dial pad guest line is where we are. You ready for this, JD?
Yeah, and dial pad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices.
God, that's spectacular. That was a read like you're not going to get anywhere else. Jennifer Lee Chan covers the 49ers at NBC Sports Bay Area and is in the barbecue capital of Missouri, Kansas City. Is that right, Jennifer Lee Chan? Is Kansas City considered the barbecue capital of Missouri?
Well, I think it's definitely one of them. And
it's on the short list?
Rightfully so, yeah.
Now, you're a foodie, I'm told. You're a foodie, is that correct?
That is correct.
See, okay. Now, I've got, because I'm smoking tri-tip tonight. We'll get to the 49ers. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but I'm smoking tri-tip. We'll get into, football's fine, but I got to have food for my football. So I'm starting with, I'm smoking tri-tip, and someone said, hey, brine your tri-tip for an hour or two in cheap champagne with a little salt and sugar.
Wow.
The carbonation tenderizes the meat. Can you give me some insight into that, Jennifer Lee Chan?
Well, I need to test it out first.
Okay.
So, yeah, send it on over.
All righty. I'll tell you. I'll make some, and I'll save it for you when you get back from Kansas City. I'll have it there for you. How does that sound?
Sounds like a deal.
All right, let's talk football. What are your first thoughts? What are you on your sheet of things you want to see tonight, or you're going to specifically be watching for tonight? What do you want from the 49ers?
Well, obviously, you know, the big test is to see what Garoppolo can do with a full half in front of him. So he only had 11 snaps back in Denver. They didn't go very well or very smoothly. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs when he can hopefully get the offense in a rhythm.
Yeah, and how much in your mind, JLC, how much pressure is on Jimmy Garoppolo to have to play well? I mean, it seems silly in a preseason game, but we've been talking for 90 minutes about how, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo kind of need some of the concern to calm down a little bit so they can maybe ease into this regular season with a little more confidence.
I think that's true, but I also think that, you know, Shanahan addressed that this week where, you know, he said you need to have success. It's a higher stakes game only if you want to please the people that are writing about you and have people think greatly about you during the preseason. I mean, honestly, it really doesn't matter until week one. Of course, I think it's better for them to have good experience, getting a little rhythm. Doesn't necessarily mean that they need to score 3 touchdowns in the first half, but they definitely need to get at least some rhythm going, because that last 3 series in Denver really were just disjuncted, kind of like, you know, very choppy, not productive. So some sort of production would be definitely a confidence builder for everybody.
Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area joining us from Kansas City on the Dialpad guest line here on JD and Co's on 95.7 The Game. So if we have to get timing, and Jimmy G specifically needs to get timing, how much are we going to see a regular rotation with the receiving core and the running backs in this game so that we kind of get a sense of what is Kyle Shanahan viewing as his best playing with his best quarterback?
I think you're going to see a rotation at running back for sure, especially with Jerick McKinnon out. And I think that's kind of how they're going to view this season. I think that's how they're going to take it on. It'll be kind of a running back by committee. And same with the wide receivers. There isn't one guy who stood out to the coaching staff enough to be wide receiver number one. So they're looking to see more from everybody. Kendrick Bourne had the most snaps in Denver. And then I think behind that were Richie James. I think both those guys are kind of, you know, vying for a roster spot. I mean, for them, Trent Taylor is out, and I think he had a really good camp until he got hurt. So, you know, it's kind of up to the rest of the guys to kind of figure out where it's going to kind of shake out and where they're going to be on the roster. I think Dante Pettis has had a good camp, but I think he also has been inconsistent. So I think Shanahan and the rest of the coaching staff is looking for consistency throughout the entire wide receiving group, and that competition is kind of one of the more interesting ones heading into the end of the preseason.
Now, Jennifer, you had the exclusive explanation from Kyle Shanahan regarding the 49ers hiring of Chris Forrester, who was somebody that was with the organization back in 2015, back with the organization a decade ago or so, and the video surfaced of him, you know, sniffing a substance with the Miami Dolphins when he was with them a couple of years ago. Nobody knew that he was on the 49ers staff. Kind of explain what his role is and how Kyle Shanahan explained to you the decision for hiring him.
I know that Forrester has always been really well admired by coaches and players alike. Joe Staley is one of the guys who has always kind of been on his, you know, kind of, you know, touting how great of a coach he is. He actually, you know, as for a 13-year vet to say that he always is learning from him is kind of, you know, that means something. I think he's very well respected. Of course, you know, outside of the incident that happened a couple years ago, he has been out of coaching, and the 49ers brought him in just as a consultant to kind of pre-scout teams last year. So whatever the opponent was coming up, it kind of helped them obviously be more efficient. He would watch tape of the team they were going to play in the upcoming week, break it down, and send a package in to the facility. So he was remote last year, this year, because he has really taken the time to be dedicated to his recovery. They made his role a little bit bigger. He's been around the facility a little bit, and he's in team meetings and position meetings with the offensive line. So while he's not on the field, he still helps the offensive line you know, grow and get better. And again, still doing the scouting for, you know, opponents coming up. Now, as technically as a team consultant, he could be on the field helping coach just during practice, but not during game days. But because they're taking everything really slowly with him, easing him in, he has been kind of not, I don't know if restricted is the right word, but he's been in just meeting rooms and film rooms instead. So he hasn't been on the field, but he's been around the facility, around the offensive line a decent amount.
Should we have known, should the 49ers have announced that they hired him when they hired him and let everybody know of that? Because I know there is some, you know, thought of, hey, this came out, and obviously the 49ers now have addressed it, and Kyle Shanahan did to you. But is there, you know, is it fair to question in your mind why they didn't just come out and say they hired the guy, that there's just this cloak of secrecy, let's say, surrounding it?
I definitely understand the questioning behind it. Shanahan's kind of counterpoint is that a lot of teams have a lot of consultants and they don't necessarily make them public. Most of them don't make any of them public. So if he was technically on staff with a coaching contract, then yes, he would definitely have to make it public. While I, you know, obviously along with you would think, why would you make it public from the beginning? But yeah, teams have consultants and it's not their, I guess they don't have to make those public because there are quite a few of them around the league.
Jennifer Lee Chan joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The 49ers and the Chiefs go at it tonight. You know, we understand the 49ers are going to try to play Garoppolo at least the first half, maybe into the third quarter. Do we know what Kansas City is going to do? Some teams, and the Chargers are one of them, Jennifer Lee, that the Chargers said, man, you know what, our starters aren't going to play in week number three. It's usually the most important game of the season, preseason, that is. Do we know how Kansas City will approach this so we can gauge what it is Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be going against?
You know, I haven't heard what they're going to do, so I'm not sure. I just know that, like, the priority for the Niners is that they need to get their offense out there. They didn't do it last week, so they probably will this week, at least for half. And, you know, depending on how it goes, they'll go into the third quarter. But Kansas City knows what their offense can do. I mean, Patrick Mahomes obviously has an amazing track record and what he can do and his ability, history, and stats on the field. So I don't know that they necessarily need to keep them out for the entire half. I mean, it's just like the Chargers. They know what Philip Rivers can do. He doesn't need to be out there. So Shanahan kind of relayed that to kind of paralleled that with Jordan Matthews. Because he's been in the league so long as a veteran, they don't necessarily need to play him a lot because they know what he can do. They know what his capabilities are. Players like that, they don't need to be out there as much. So I haven't officially heard what Kansas City is going to do, but I would think likely they don't need to.
All right. Jennifer Lee, thank you very much. We appreciate the insight. Oh, you got one more? Go ahead.
We're good.
Okay, that sounds good. I thought we're busy and ready to roll here. We got more stuff to talk about. But Jennifer Lee, we appreciate the insights from Kansas City. Always very nice of you to give us a couple of minutes. And what do you guys, give us a little insight. What do you guys got coming up tonight? Do you have any hits or anything on NBC Sports Bay Area we're going to see on the website?
I don't believe we're doing any because it's preseason, but okay. It comes week one. We are going back to doing a Facebook Live and then the pregame show before. So
cool.
I think it's Orbit, Dante, and yeah, I think Ian Williams will show up there as well.
Oh, all righty.
Love it.
Love it. Thank you.
And we got Ian Williams coming up later.
What?
All right, well, tell him hello.
I will do that. Sounds, look at that. That's all we're doing here. Thanks, Jennifer Lee. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure. Bye-bye. I want to get the barbecue insights is what I need more than anything else.
I'll be there about 5:15.
That's fine.
I'm supposed to be covering A's Giants. Giants A's.
Ooh, that's
Bay
right.
Bridge
that's,
Series.
That's a, what time's the first pitch on that?
6:07.
You know you're going to miss the tri-tip, brother.
6:07.
I'm probably going to start the smoking process around 4-ish.
But now that I have your address,
yeah,
I may just
true.
Start showing up
I know.
Around mealtime.
I know, that's very true. You know, it's interesting talking to Jennifer Lee Chan from over at NBC. You know, I know there's going to be a rotation of backs and receivers, but I am going to be intrigued at who gets what tonight. Who gets the most, I want to see who gets carries. I want to see circumstances.
I hate to be Johnny Concerned guy.
See, you are. I'm Mr. Happy. I'm Mr. Excited, but you go.
But I look at just the wide receivers, right? Jimmy Garoppolo loves throwing the ball to Trent Taylor. Well, he isn't going to have Trent Taylor the first probably 3 weeks of the season, minimum, because then you got the bye, and then maybe he's able to come back week four, October 7th, at home against the Browns, right, on a Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't click with Dante Pettis. George Kittle's going to be somebody he's going to throw the football to a lot, but Kittle's been out, so he's not building chemistry with him in this preseason. Jerick McKinnon was supposed to be this guy that they were going to throw it to all over the field. He's been out, probably not going to play week one at this particular point. And then you've got the young guys. You've got the Hurds and the Deebo Samuels and those guys that it doesn't seem, unless Kyle Shanahan's hiding them, it doesn't seem like they've quite done enough in Kyle Shanahan's mind to move up the depth chart. So if you've got two guys that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't like throwing the football to or feel comfortable with, in let's say Goodwin and Pettis, and Trent Taylor's his safety net that he doesn't have, how are you going to get the best Jimmy Garoppolo then?
Then maybe we have to gauge Garoppolo a little bit differently than just raw numbers, completions. You know, is he making the right decisions? Is he looking at the right part of the field? Is he checking down at the right time?
Yeah, and look, there's people that would tell you, Coz, that watched Jimmy Garoppolo's six passes 20, 30 times over and over and over and over and over.
Those people are crazy.
That he made all the right decisions except for one. And you can't blame him for the passes batted down. You can't blame him for Nick Chubb annihilating Joe Staley and heating him up.
Fair enough.
That the only really bad decision that Garoppolo made was the pick six that wasn't.
Not bad. I mean, if you can parse it out that way and try to sell it that he was making the right decisions, physically not everything worked out for him, all right, that's fine.
And that's legit film breakdown, guys.
Sure. All right, that's fine then. Now you're making me feel a little bit better about what I ended up witnessing on Monday night. I'm hoping for more tonight. I'm hoping there aren't the same amount of batted balls and such. More of your phone calls when we continue. Plus, we have to start looking at the Bay Bridge series, John. I mean, come on. I've got my split cap and my Oak Francisco body paint.
Yeah, your paint on.
I'm a paint
your
on.
Paint on jersey.
Exactly. And I'm geared up.
You go split cap.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then when you go in and get the body paint,
yep.
you put the split cap on, you take your shirt off.
Boom.
And then you say, hey, I want the split cap, but I want it
straight down.
All the way down.
All the way down, baby. You know, hey, and you know it? Because I like both teams.
All the way down to the waistline.
So we'll get into some Bay Bridge series. We can do it a couple of different ways. Like if you had to take both rosters and make your starting eight. Or if you just wanted to take your all-time greatest of those teams.
Or maybe we go back the last 30 years. I don't know. There's so many different ways to do it.
Because if you're going all-time, you're going to take manager Connie Mack, is what you're saying, for the Athletics, the old Philadelphia Athletics guy.
Well, that's what these conversations sometimes evolve into.
Or devolve into. I would also say that. John Dickinson and Jim Cosimo with you. Quick step aside, we'll take more of your phone calls on what you expect from the 49ers. I want the positive. No more you guys kicking my 49ers around. A 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
How's your Saturday working, everybody? Starting to clear up here in the city. It's gorgeous out in the East Bay, I know that. We're just excited about what's happening today. A lot of cool stuff in Bay Area sports, including the Bay Bridge Classic. It is a classic, John. It's not just a game.
It is.
Classic.
The trophy says so.
Yep, exactly. Athletics, the owners of said trophy.
And they're going to keep it again.
What do you think so?
You know why?
It's 1-1 right now.
Because all they have to do is win one of the two, and they keep it. Because if the series for that season is tied, mm-hmm. it remains with the team that had it from the year prior.
Hmm. Well, hopefully. By the way,
look at that knowledge.
That's, again, showing you that the Bay Bridge Trophy has a long and storied history because you know all about this.
The only way the Giants can take that trophy is if they win both games.
And it could happen. You never know. Because John, how many times have you been hit over the head with this bit of knowledge? The Giants outfield since, what is it, the All-Star break?
June 30th.
Since June 30th, has the third most production in baseball. Behind the Yankees and, who's the other one, the Astros?
I don't know. The Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
And the
yeah.
Astros.
Yeah,
just pick
yeah.
your three name yeah, brand
yeah,
well, teams.
Yeah, name those teams. And then the Giants outfield, John, third most production. What do you say about that?
That's the reason that they're two games under 500 instead of 20.
What's your long time saying? Get to 500 and I'll start to think about it.
Exactly. And you know what? The Giants did. And every day they're at 500, I thought about them. and now they're not.
Not so much right now. Oh, my goodness, Brian.
But I will be covering the game tonight.
And I'll be there tomorrow. 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to call. Brian in Palo Alto has 49er comments in this one. And Brian, I'm trying to bring home the positive in our 49ers. How do you see the 49ers as they shape up? Third preseason game, but more importantly, third season under Kyle Shanahan.
I'll give you a positive. I think we are, each game and each week, we're one step closer to the end of the Kyle Shanahan era.
Oh, boy. Wow.
That may be true.
Look, the big picture is obviously an organizational problem. It's a dysfunctional organization, right? I mean, you have essentially a young Matt Millen as their GM, right? I mean, like, so it's not a functional organization, so it's much bigger than Kyle Shanahan. But the fact that we're sitting here, you guys are on the air talking about that they have no playmaking receivers, they don't even know who their first receiver is, and they sat on $60 million in cap space, didn't fill the second cornerback spot, didn't get a single NFL caliber safety, got no O-line depth, they didn't fill their holes except getting Bosa and D Ford, and it looks like Bosa's hurt and going to be hurt a lot. D Ford, maybe he helps the pass rush a little bit, but does that turn around? It's not enough to turn around this defense. I mean, it's just they're going to go 5-11 or 4-12. They'll probably start 0-2, and after week two, the house of cards is going to come down. Jets are going to start leaking.
Oh man, you're killing me, Brian.
They've already started with each other. Right? I mean, you've already seen leaks. John Lynch's best friend going on the air calling Kyle Shanahan a glorified offensive coordinator. There's been rumors of Shanahan about Lynch and scouts about both of them. So, like, everybody's ripping the Raiders. The Niners are 1,000 times more dysfunctional. All right, that's my take. Thanks.
Way to go. I like it, Brian. See, he's not making me feel any better there, John. That doesn't make me feel good. Now, the sad thing is,
all of that could happen.
Could be plausible. Everything Brian just said could be plausible.
Yeah. And again, part of the reason that the 49ers didn't go out and get name brand talent at some of the positions that Brian mentioned, mm-hmm. part of the reason was because they think they had a quarterback that could elevate them in other areas.
That
all they needed to make their defense decent and respectable was a pass rusher or two. They went and got two. By the way, the 925 Chilton Autobody text line.
Yeah.
Correcting me, I may have been wrong on that. I thought the tiebreaker was whoever wins the last game. I think that was the tiebreaker last year.
Last year.
Because they had no, it was the first year.
Yeah, they'd never, no one had the trophy.
Right. So, but I think now it's if you win it, you keep it.
Yeah.
If you tie, you keep it. You have to beat the, yeah.
And again, it's a long and storied history of the Bay Bridge Classic Trophy.
We may have to get a,
you want the truth? I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a cool idea.
I do too.
I think what the guys over at NBC did, it was Brody Brazil and Ahmed Farid who kind of cooked up the idea to get an actual chunk of the old Bay Bridge.
I do think that's cool.
That part is cool. And it is a heavy A trophy.
Yeah, I picked it up last year.
That is a heavy trophy.
I picked it up and I think I pulled a groin.
Exactly. You were out. Then you went on the injured
list. And that was heavier, JD.
That was. I know. But now you're lean and mean.
Now I'm lean and mean. I would pick that bad boy up.
With one arm. That's how tough you are.
One arm. I would just do curls with it.
Why don't you just do it tonight when you go to the yard?
I would curl it.
Are they doing any fireworks there tonight, too? Because they like to do a fireworks night over at the Coliseum.
I'm not sure
again.
If tonight's a fireworks night.
You going to go hang out in the treehouse tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
When I go big.
Interesting. Treehouse is a fun place to watch a game. I will say that.
I'll go up to the treehouse.
I've done my fair share of... See, here's
I'm a wanderer. Now I'm covering the game, so I'm probably going to be in the press box a lot. But before the game, I'll wander.
Oh, I like that. I'm all over the wander. I think it's better to wander over at Third and King than it is at the Coliseum, only because the vast spaciousness of the Coliseum. Coliseum's enormous.
It is.
You know, like if I'm wandering, I'm wandering between that one outdoor bar and the treehouse up in that same area up there.
That's its own kind of wandering area.
There's the indoor bar, then there's the pool tables and the stuff there, and then there's the outdoor bar.
Yeah.
I'll go between those areas in there. Then I'll hang out in that standing room only area where you can stand with the... I'll hang out there.
I like that.
That's a good vibe. That's a party vibe.
It's a great vibe. And it'll be an even better vibe tonight.
And I hope Giants fans are out there, and I think everyone will get along. Giants and A's fans will get along.
It's a pretty tame
rivalry. Yeah, no one's going to be, you know, they're not going to be suffering the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
It's a pretty tame, lovable rivalry.
And that's what we like. Now, I am uniquely positioned in this rivalry as to the reason I wear the split cap, because I think I'm the only person in the Bay Area actually who does is affiliated with both. I will do an A's pre- and a post-game show. I will do a Giants pre- and a post-game show. I'm one of the only people who does. So
right.
I have kind of my tentacles are on both sides of the Bay. And I like it that way because I like both teams. And I've said this before. When they play over at Third and King at Oracle Park, I pull for the A's. When they play at the Coliseum, I pull for the Giants.
Why is that?
And now Joe called me a troll, the ultimate troll, that you're just nothing more than a troll.
So that's why.
I don't think I'm trolling. I just think...
You want to see the visiting team fans?
I think it's interesting.
Okay.
Like when I'm at Third and King and I hear, let's go Oakland, I think that's kind of cool.
Okay.
They're kind of invading the space. And now the Giants fans are going to, you know, because there are East Bay Giants fans who it's a little easier trek for them to go to the Coliseum than it is to maybe go across through the tunnel, across the bridge, find parking downtown, take BART, you know, avoid the needles, what you get when you kind of come out there south of Market. I think it's a little easier for them to go to the Collie. So I think that you're going to get some version of Giant fan and a Giant chant going. I think that's fun. That's fun for the rivalry.
All right. I'm good with it.
You are an objective observer just because, you know, you're a fan.
Yeah, and I'm good with it.
Let's get Ben in San Jose. He's got some Jimmy G thoughts. Ben, give me a Jimmy G Niners analogy that'll kind of bring it all home for me, Benny.
Yeah, hey, first of all, Coach, thanks for making my Saturday morning by quoting some Shakespeare. That's pretty intense for Sports Talk Radio.
Thank you. You know, I aim to please, Ben. I know our IQ audience IQ is very high, so I'll drip a little in there. Thank you for noticing, Ben.
Yeah, and my comments here are not hindsight. This is actually my initial thoughts when I first heard about the Garoppolo trade and Niner fans were doing backflips and handstands. And I'm not insinuating in any way that I think Garoppolo is going to be a bust because I know about him. I know as much about it as talent evaluation is probably a slug, but there's a couple things I do know. In the last 20 years, from my perspective anyway, I think probably maybe you can make an argument the best talent evaluation group in all pro sports has been the Patriots. I don't think they've made a bad or maybe even a questionable trade in the last 20 years. And, you know, when this whole thing first happened, my comment to my friends who are all Niner fans is like, hey, you know, because they're acting like, you know, this incredible steal happened. And I'm like, really? So you're telling me that the Patriots all of a sudden forgot to, you know, acknowledge and be able to evaluate a player's talent. And this whole thing to me actually is starting to look a little bit like the Matt Castle deal. The only difference is that, you know, unfortunately the Niners don't have Wilson in the background. So I was wondering what you guys thought about
that. That's interesting, Ben. You know what? And for the longest time, people said, hey, it's not like when Matt Castle got his money and he thieved the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not like when pick your backup quarterback to Tom Brady went to a new city.
I'm still laughing about that other thing.
I know. You're doing a whole different show over there, by the way. You have your own show going on over there. And everyone said, well, heck, this isn't like Matt Castle. The other day kind of made it seem like Matt Castle.
I mean, if we get...
Eight games of that in the regular season,
then okay. I can't go that far yet.
Let me ask you.
And I think there's legitimate questions, and I can't go that far.
Two and a half games last year. What did you see? Did you see the greatness of 5-0 Jimmy G, who we thought was going to be the new Joe Montana?
I saw better than Matt Castle.
Okay, you saw better than Matt Castle in the two.
I did not see the Vikings, Joe Montana.
You did not see that. The loss to the Vikings and... Which at the time, everyone thought the Vikings were going to be the team to beat in the NFC. Many people thought the Vikings, adding Cousins with that defense, they were going to be a deep playoff team.
Correct.
Last year.
Great defense.
Right. And they went up to Minnesota, played with them. I think it was they lost, but it was a closely played game.
And Jimmy threw a pick six.
Yes, he did. Then the Detroit Lions come to town, and he throws a pick six that the officials just screw the call up.
When the 49ers are putting the game on ice.
Yeah, exactly. He just makes a bad decision right there.
The ultimate bad Tony Romo play.
So it's not, he did make a Romo, didn't he?
That is the ultimate bad Tony Romo play, right?
But the question is, what did we see in the 2.5 games we had him? I'm not saying was that anything like what we just witnessed. Take Monday night out of it. Take Monday. I'm wiping Monday night out of my memory banks.
No, you can't do that.
I'm going to.
You can't
to.
Do that. You
I'm
can't
going
do that
to.
Until you see him play tonight.
I'm just saying that's the game where that's his batting practice game. He got to get in there, take a few swings with live ammo, and he realized, maybe my timing's a little rusty. I'm wiping it off.
He was bunting off the tee.
He was, you know what? He was playing pepper. He was playing pepper. He was soft toss. He was, you know what?
Yeah.
Who wants to do a little, you know, they underhand it to you.
And you hit it right, and you hit it into the cage.
There you go.
The cage.
He hit it into the cage. And he didn't connect on it. He didn't get full barrel. He didn't barrel a lot of balls.
No.
Now he had that, so I'm wiping that off. Who's with me? On the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795 or 888-957-9570.
Hopefully not the guy that just called you Jim Trollsamore.
Yeah, that's terrible that they would.
925. That's out your neck of the woods.
That? Probably my wife. Could be my wife doing that.
Trollsamore.
She's tough. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. John Dickinson, Jim Trollsamore with you. How can they say I'm trolling? Because when the A's play here, I root for the A's, and when the Giants go there, I root for the Giants?
You just want the majority of fans in the stands to be miserable at the end of the game.
I don't. I just always found it more fun that way. Maybe because I was always in a position where I watched my team as the visitor. Right?
Okay.
As a kid, growing up. Maybe that's why it was. And I'm very fair in my rootership. Like, I want both teams to be wild card teams. Now, we have to be fair. The Giants are not going to be a wild card team in the National League.
No.
That whole farce brought upon by them. Yes.
Is it time to ask the question?
I know where you're going.
Did the Giants screw up? Because here we are, what, 3.5 weeks from the trade deadline?
Yep.
Did the Giants make a mistake?
Okay. They're 6 games out of the second wild card right now. They had just defeated Arizona 3 of 4. Arizona is now 5.5 out of the second wild card. So they didn't discard the Diamondbacks as we had thought. Let me also point this out to you, JD, because this is a team that started to believe in themselves right at the All-Star break. Right? They got a little hot, caught a little hot lightning
about,
going.
About
there.
2 weeks before and 2 weeks after, they were scorching hot.
They were scorching hot. They
smoke show hot.
They were giving me the heat check. And then July 31st, they were 55-53. They just got done with a real nice run, that run right after the All-Star break, and then more wins than losses after they had started to lose a couple of games. You know, they win the series against the Mets. They win the series against the Cubs. They win the series against the Padres. Now you're going to the series against Philadelphia, and you tell your general manager, we like what we got. We can make a run. Do not trade Will Smith. Do not trade Madison Bumgarner. This is our crew. Maybe give us somebody. Give us a guy, because this is our crew.
Scooter Gennett.
That's right. You got our second baseman of the future. Yes, it cost me Joe Panik. My Joe Panik number 12 is hanging right now, sadly. But I got Scooter Gennett.
And you could just claim it's a Dusty Baker number 12.
Oh, I could put tape over it.
Or if you got the cream one that doesn't have the name on the back.
That's a good call.
You could just say, that's my Dusty Baker.
That's a good call.
That's my 2002 Dusty Baker.
Okay, ready? August 1st, Philadelphia. After you told the general manager, get me Scooter Gennett, which they did.
Yeah, they won that game.
Okay.
Right?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.